There's a productive tension in the AI industry right now between companies making enormous capital bets and the financial markets that are starting to interrogate those bets. Meta is the most visible example this week. The stock fell sharply after an earnings miss and surging capital expenditure numbers that sent free cash flow plunging, then recovered some ground on Friday. But the underlying question is one that applies to the whole sector. At what point does the AI infrastructure spending generate returns that justify the investment?
The New York Times investigation into Oracle is a detailed look at one version of this bet. Oracle has taken on substantial debt to finance an aggressive push into AI data center infrastructure, positioning itself as a foundational supplier for AI model training and inference. The debt-fueled nature of this expansion means Oracle needs AI demand to materialize at scale and at a pace that generates enough cash flow to service that debt. If AI adoption in enterprise settings moves slower than Oracle's capital structure requires, the math gets very uncomfortable very quickly.
China's AI competitive push is accelerating in ways that directly challenge the assumption of U.S. dominance. DeepSeek, Minimax, and ByteDance all released new models on the same day, a coordinated release cadence that looks like a deliberate signal to the market. What's notable about the Chinese approach is the combination of open-source releases with aggressive pricing. DeepSeek's models have historically been offered at a fraction of the cost of comparable American models, which is a competitive strategy that directly targets the economics of API pricing.
The Alibaba AI model theft lawsuit is a separate dimension of the China story. A law firm is preparing a class action alleging that Alibaba stole AI model architecture or weights from another party. The intellectual property questions around AI models are genuinely complex. Model distillation, fine-tuning, and training on outputs create attribution chains that existing copyright law wasn't designed to handle.
Google's July Gemini drop added a macOS voice tool and several new models, which is a meaningful product release in the context of the intensifying voice interface competition. The ability to have a persistent, low-latency AI voice assistant running natively on macOS is a direct competitive move against Apple's own AI ambitions, and Apple's rough Friday makes this timing particularly pointed.
Let me bring in the curriculum corner here because the Ackman-Starlink story gives us a genuine opening. Bill Ackman called Starlink a near monopoly, but said he won't buy SpaceX stock at its $1.49 trillion valuation. The monopoly framing is worth unpacking legally, because people use that word in common speech very differently from how antitrust law uses it. Under the Sherman Antitrust Act, passed in 1890, having a monopoly isn't automatically illegal. What matters is how you got that monopoly and what you do with it. A company that achieves dominant market position through superior products, lower prices, or genuine innovation is not violating antitrust law, even if its market share is 80 or 90%. What triggers legal exposure is using monopoly power to exclude competitors through anti-competitive means, predatory pricing, exclusive dealing contracts that block rivals, or acquiring nascent competitors specifically to kill them rather than integrate them. The classic test isn't, does this company have a high market share? It's whether the company has the power to control prices or exclude competition in a defined market, and whether it obtained or maintained that power through conduct beyond normal competition. For Starlink, the legal question would be, is it using its satellite internet dominance to prevent terrestrial broadband competitors from competing fairly, or is it simply winning because it has better coverage in rural areas? The distinction matters enormously for whether antitrust enforcement would apply.
And that framework helps explain why Ackman's near-monopoly framing is analytically interesting but legally incomplete. SpaceX's satellite coverage advantage exists because of genuine engineering achievement and significant capital deployment. Whether that constitutes actionable antitrust exposure depends on conduct, not just market share. What Ackman seems to be saying is that the valuation doesn't pencil out for his fund's return requirements, not that Starlink is doing anything illegal.